The Health Fix Podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today, I'm interviewing Sean Wells. He's an expert in performance nutrition, supplementation, longevity, fitness, and biohacking. He has three businesses focusing on formulations and novel ingredients, and he is known as the world's greatest formulator, having formulated over 500 products. I would say so. He has also created two of the most popular ingredients in energy supplements, T-Crine and Dynamine. And we're going to talk about that today in the podcast. So stay tuned for that. Now, Sean has a master's degree in nutritional biochemistry and a minor in exercise science. So it's no wonder he is set up to create some awesome supplements to help folks with their health and fitness. So Sean has a very interesting story. He overcame significant obstacles with his own health, struggling with obesity, depression, Hashimoto's, Epstein-Barr virus infection, fibromyalgia, and chronic fatigue. And on top of that, he ended up with a pituitary adenoma, which is a brain tumor, and two cervical discs that had to be replaced after a bad accident. Holy cow. Now, all of that helped him to have a force to drive behind that to help him create solutions for all of these things that he was battling with. And of course, now he is sharing his information, what he found, and how he got better on stages all over the world. And he is kind enough to be with me today on the podcast. So without any further ado, let's get Sean on the podcast. Hey, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I have Sean Wells here with me today. And oh my goodness, he's got a little fur baby there. Who is that?
This is Maya, my Shih Tzu.
Aw, she's a cutie. So everybody knows on this podcast that I love animals and I love dogs. So this is an excellent way to start things off. And for those of you that do not have the capacity to view right now, she was just giving him kisses and it was the sweetest thing ever. Oh my goodness. So we are going to be talking about Sean's history. He has quite a background and my gosh, it's hard to say where to start, but I think because I'm a naturopathic doctor and want to know how biohacking mono, so Epstein-Barr virus and insomnia and fibromyalgia, how the heck did you get into all of that and get going with it? Tell us your story.
You know what? I grew up like a very bullied, traumatic upbringing where I was overweight, very turbulent house, and I was also laughed at and picked on at school, and I got easily overweight and into the junk food, and I got very depressed and at times even suicidal, and I think that played a role along with trying to succeed at school and working on achievement at the same time, like all that hard work, but self-hatred really probably took a toll on my health. I mean, you know, people just try and point to like moments of physical aspects of their life that, you know, the health is related to, but I think it's massively mental. And I think a lot of the trauma I went through, like, correlated pretty heavily to the physical ailments that I had, my body literally fighting itself. You know, the autoimmunity, the Epstein-Barr virus, which is also called mono. And then that came with, like, I had strep at the same time. And then I developed chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. I also had Hashimoto's. And then a pituitary tumor some years later, a brain tumor that was benign, quote unquote, not being cancerous, but a prolactinoma that wreaked havoc on, you know, my quality of life in terms of neurotransmitters and hormones and quality of sleep and sexual prowess and all these kinds of things. So, and again, like at each one of these points, I've been depressed and suicidal and in pain and inflamed and couldn't get out of bed. And So I've struggled at times with a lot of different things. I had a bad car accident where I had two discs replaced in my neck, C5, C6, C7. Again, really horrible pain. So I've been through some stuff. I've been obese. I've been anorexic before, where I was like emaciated. Like I've been close to 300 pounds and I've been under 160, and I'm 6'2", 6'3". So right now I'm about, 210, 215, and I work out, and I think I'm in like a pretty, happy place and kind of balanced through it all. So that's what I've been just trying to seek is the balance, and no longer hustle and grind, but hustle and flow. trying to hit flow states where I'm achieving my purpose and I have some inner zen and the self-talk is positive, the affirmations. That's where I'm at. But like a lot of this stuff that I've dug into and I'm sharing is I'm super passionate about because I've been through hell and I want to tell you what I've done to try and better myself and fix myself. I mean, and now I realize that I used to think just my broken sucked and I wish I could be everyone else. But now I realize that my broken is my beautiful and it's what sets me apart. It gave me my purpose. It connects me to people. It's the reason I'm doing all the things I'm doing. It's my passion. So now I'm thankful for all of the hell that I've been through.
I have to say that that's a great message for a lot of folks that are in the battle and in the trenches right now, dealing with trying to figure out, why do I feel so crappy? Why am I so depressed? Why am I overweight? And I think you mentioned quite a few different things that I think are huge factors. One, mental health is so huge and it gets overlooked a lot of times. I have a lot of people that come to me and they're like, "Doc, give me the pill. I just want the pill," which we're going to talk about how you are the world's greatest formulator here in a couple seconds. So we want to get into supplementation and things of that nature. But I just, mental health cannot be ignored. And I think it's really important that you're tying the traumas in with how things went south for you, because there's so many people out there that just can't seem to put those two together, no matter how much I'm talking, other people are talking. So thank you for saying that and helping us to hone in a little bit more on that.
Yeah, we literally hold in trauma in places in our body, like in our, in our jaw that stays clenched, or in our solar plexus that, stays tight, or, like whatever. Like just like when you don't believe someone, you cross your arms and you close down your body, right? And or when you're open to someone and you want to listen to them, your arms are wide open, your hands are up and out. Like you may even put your hands in the air, like when you're winning, and it's because you're open to receive. And typically we're shutting down, and it manifests in a lot of places in our body. Like, if you get a massage and, they're like, "Man, you're like super tight here." I think we literally hold trauma in places in our body. And you hear about people doing therapy or taking a plant medicine journey or whatever and dealing with this past trauma and getting past it and then feeling not only mentally better, but like less pain, less inflammation. That spot that used to kill me in my shoulder is now gone. Like, and I really think people need to consider going back and finding trauma that's holding you down mentally and health-wise. If you're sick every day mentally, you're not going to be the picture of perfect health. No way. It's just not going to happen, because your body is spending so much energy on those negative thoughts and negative feelings. There's no possible way that you can be in great health.
It's 100% true. It's 100% true. So will you enlighten folks who are listening to this a little bit of how you worked through the mental health aspects of things and how you worked through the stuck trauma in the body? Is there certain things? Were there certain supplements? Were there certain techniques? Anything that you have that you can share?
I think, you know, the biggest thing for me is just realizing, I think it helps if you do personality typing. Mm-hmm. Like you actually take as many of those tests as possible to try and understand who you are. Even more helpful is if you could get some friends and family to fill them out on you and get their perspective of how you think you like you are. But understanding yourself and what motivates you is a powerful tool on how to move forward with what your purpose in life is and the things that are lighting you up. I think it's important to make a list. The most important asset you have is energy. And I can get into mitochondrial health and all that, which is super important. But let's just think on a basic level, just energy, not money, not all these other things. It's energy, and you're giving it away all the time. But you have to think about the things that light you up and the things that drain you. And make a list of the things that light you up and make a list of the things that drain you. And you have to chase these things that light you up. And you have to start letting go of and moving away from these things that are draining you. And you will feel better health physically, mentally, spiritually, I promise. Once you start making room for the things that light you up and shedding these things that are draining you, like you'll start manifesting like crazy, like amazing things will start coming into your life. And you're just like, wow, how's all this happening? I mean, one of it is just, it's a matter of room in the container, right? Almost like allostatic load, if you want to get super nerdy. But also, it's the mentality, the creative mentality of opening up this space and allowing yourself to be heads up, to recognize the opportunities of like, oh, wow, I never noticed this business before. I never noticed this person before. I never noticed that they were hurting. I never noticed that they had these needs. I never asked them about what they do for a living. And then all of a sudden, because you're heads up, because you have a creative mind, because you have this kind of playful, fun energy instead of the grind energy, like all these amazing things are happening in your life. And you're like, wow, like I hit like some inflection point, like where all these crazy things are happening. But it's just because you moved away from things that are draining you and you moved towards things that are lighting you up.
That's huge. That's huge. And folks, if you skip through the interview in terms of not the interview, the intro to this interview, then you missed out on how many things that Sean is involved in. Holy cow. He's got 3 businesses involving formulation. He's writing a book. He's almost done with this book. It's going to come out here soon. So we're going to talk a little bit about that guy known as the Energy Formula, but holy cow. Let's dive into this a little bit, because I think a lot of people, when they're sick, they don't feel good. They're like, I'm never going to be anything in life. My life is shit. It's just over. I don't know where to go. And like, look at you. You are sitting on some really big boards. You're kind of have your hands in a lot of things in the nutritional universe and the supplementation universe as well. So I definitely want to dive into some of this. So let's talk a little bit about Zone Halo first. So this is his Instagram account too, by the way, folks, and we'll talk about that. So let's talk about Zone Halo. Tell us a little bit more about all that.
Yeah, so that is a formulation company that I have, and I've done over 500 products in the dietary supplement industry. I've helped sell 4 companies in the supplement food and beverage space, and I'm known as the world's greatest formulator. Because I've done so many products and I do the marketing aspects of them as well. And now I am in something called World's Greatest Ingredients, where I'm partnered with 2 German scientists and a partner in China that has a team of 100 scientists. And we just create novel ingredients and patent them. 2 of my ingredients on the market that I've come out with previously with some other partners are T-Crine and Dynamine, that are in about 500 products. They're energy ingredients, speaking of energy. And they're in energy drinks like Bang. They're in pre-workouts, fat burners, things like that. So I've worked on ketones. I've worked on a special form of berberine. And so I have a lot of patents out there with a lot more coming, but that's what I do.
Let's talk about some of these. I mean, I think a lot of people have heard of Bang energy drinks. And so that's a big deal. And tea green. So what is it? How does it work? You know, give us a little rundown.
Yeah. So it's tea green and dynamine. It's theacrine is tea green and dynamine is called methylliberine. And they're in the methylxanthine family, meaning they're related to caffeine, along with some other compounds you might have heard of, theobromine, theophylline, so some of those ingredients. Has a different half-life, doesn't have the same adaptation habituation effect that caffeine has. So basically with theacrine and dynamine, you get the same effect like every single time. Instead of like caffeine, you have this habituation effect that it takes more and more, or the effect is less and less over time, essentially, to where you just need it to get to baseline. So caffeine isn't necessarily the best ingredient, even though it's probably the most used ingredient in the world. But so we think theacrine and dynamine are kind of a one-up of caffeine, if you will. And theacrine has a much longer half-life, and dynamine has a very short half-life, similar to caffeine. So you would use dynamine, like, you know, if you want to, let's say, do a pre-workout, that might make more sense. But if you want like an all-day fat burner, then theacrine might make sense. They're popular in nootropics as well, just because there's a cognitive focus aspect you get from them. So they're very popular, like right now with gaming and things like that too. So, but yeah, that's theacrine and dynamine.
Now, when you were working on those, were you thinking about folks who are struggling with fatigue, chronic fatigue, Epstein-Barr, or were you kind of going more for athletic performance, focus, things of that nature?
You know, my focus when I was coming into this industry was definitely more sports nutrition, but it's evolved now to more anti-aging, brain health, certainly mitochondrial energy and things like that. But I will say, like, there's certainly, I formulate and I develop ingredients for me first and foremost. Like, I really develop ingredients I want to use. And yes, I've struggled with energy a lot of my life. And so I've always looked for better solutions on energy. And there's a number of other compounds I'm working on that are coming out as well, like in that arena, you know, both from cognitive energy, like cellular energy, mitochondrial energy, you know, that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So now we were talking a little bit before we jumped on here about some of the other projects you're involved in. And I've seen a couple of things in terms of adaptogenic herbs, things of that nature. And then you were talking mitochondrial. I'm curious in terms of where you're at right now with adaptogenics, because it seems that, you know, in my practice, they'll get folks to a certain point, but it doesn't seem to be turning things around as fast as I want them to be. And I'm kind of balancing between, do I go towards a peptide like MOTC to try to get the adaptogenic effect, or like, where do we go? So what's your thoughts in that department in terms of adaptogenics, and what's the future in your mind?
Yeah, I love them. I use ashwagandha, rhodiola are probably my two favorites. Mm-hmm. They just seem to work really well. Lion's mane is good for cognition, but I think rhodiola and ashwagandha are probably my most favorites. And I think, so the idea of adaptogen is really cool. If you think about throughout history, the most important herbs in each culture are these vaunted adaptogens that have this potent property of normalizing you and working on so many aspects of your body. If you think about in China, it's ginseng, in India, it's ashwagandha, you know, in South America, it's maca, and, you know, in Russia, it's rhodiola. Like, it's really interesting that, like, when you look through history, like, how important these herbs are in the culture, that they're essentially put atop all other plants because of their powerful normalizing ability. But I would say that it's important with adaptogens for that reason, to kind of cycle through them mm-hmm. and not just use them chronically. So I might, at the very least, I would probably cycle through different adaptogens and then come back around. So maybe have like three adaptogens in your mix. Like I said, like it could be like maca, lion's mane, ashwagandha, and rhodiola, and just, you know, once a month, maybe switch one out and go to a different one. Because I think, it, you know, they tend to work better that way. Just using an adaptogen forever doesn't seem to work as well.
Mm-hmm. No, I have to agree with you. I find in my practice too that I've got to switch things. Plus people's chemistry changes, their body changes, things are changing all the time. And so sometimes I'm like, one day you might need this, the other day you might need that. But cycling is such a genius idea. I love that. Now, mm-hmm. speaking of something else that seems to work for a little bit and then changes, and you said you have another level of it, is berberine. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so berberine is an amazing compound, very similar to the anti-aging, the most popular anti-aging compound that's called metformin. Mm-hmm. They use for glucose disposal. It's like originally a diabetic drug, but it has powerful anti-aging effects for a number of reasons. Like the lower our hemoglobin A1C, the lower our glucose, our basal blood glucose or insulin, the longer we tend to live. Like the telomeres stay longer, we have less oxidation, less glycation, less inflammation, less mitochondrial dysfunction, so less biological aging, less chronic diseases. So it's very powerful. Like, and you'll see triglycerides improve, you'll see inflammation reduce, you'll see blood sugar drop, and therefore insulin levels drop. You'll see all of this improve with berberine. And berberine's been shown head-to-head to be as good, if not superior, to metformin. The only problem with berberine is it has some poor bioavailability and some GI distress at times, as does metformin. And so what happens in the gut is you convert berberine into the active form dihydroberberine, and then it actually ends up converting back to berberine again in the plasma. But we can save that bioavailability issue and that conversion issue and the GI distress issue by just giving you the active form dihydroberberine, which is about six times more active. And so you can lower the dose from, you know, instead of 500 milligrams three times a day, you can use like 100 milligrams three times a day or something like that. And it seems to be just as effective, if not more effective, at that dose.
That's really cool. I think a lot of people can benefit from that info, because I know a lot of folks who are kind of cranking out the 500 milligrams of the berberines and just not seeing the results that they want. So where would you find the dihydroberberine of yours? Where are you holding it hostage?
It's online right now. It's pretty new coming out. We have some patents on it, but it is available. Some companies have already started formulating with it. Not sure if some companies have it out on the market yet, but you can look it up online. It's called GlucoVantage.
Okay.
So GlucoVantage is the brand name of the dihydroberberine, and we have some white papers, and there may be one or two. I think Genius, the Genius brand on Amazon, actually just released a product that has it. Okay. So there are, I think, a few brands, two or three brands out right now, but there's a lot of interest. We have maybe 20 brands that are playing with it right now, but it's literally brand new. So
it's cool. I believe that we need it, because I'm not getting results like I want with berberine for a lot of folks. And the GI stuff, all of it, it's all an issue. Now, you're pretty heavily involved in the keto universe, and berberines and ketos, for me, kind of the whole keto thing and berberine thing goes hand in hand. So tell us a little bit about some of your keto formulations that you've worked with and how that's going right now.
Yeah, so berberine, really interesting because as it does suppress blood glucose and improves insulin sensitivity, if you are in a ketogenic state, it will in and of itself increase blood ketones. So you'll see BHB levels rise in plasma. So that's cool for any keto dieters out there. But also, when I was originally working on berberine, I did a carbohydrate challenge. And instead of a clinical 75 grams of dextrose for oral glucose tolerance test, I did something that's far more fun as a keto dieter. I had two frosted Pop-Tarts and five double stuffed Oreos.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, how did you not throw up?
Yeah. And so I did this with 1 week separation for washout, and I did a blood glucometer where I was looking at it every 30 minutes for 2 hours. And I went from a baseline of like 65-70 with the carbohydrate challenge to with no berberine to 199 at 2 hours. So not good. And then the following week when I did it with berberine, I never got above 100, and at 1 hour I was already going back down. Wow. So when I say this is like potent and it really works, and this is just berberine, not the dihydroberberine, mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy. Like if I'm having a quote unquote cheat meal or doing like my cyclical ketogenic diet, I definitely would use berberine. I always use berberine no matter what, even in zero carb situations, because I can, again, increase my ketones just through taking that, and I reduce inflammation by doing that, et cetera, et cetera. So I like berberine all the time, but I definitely throw down on the berberine if I'm doing a cheat meal. And it's crazy because you can like stay in ketosis and have like pretty nutty amounts of carbs. Like it's going to vary from person to person, but I would definitely encourage someone like out there with, especially with a CGM, mm-hmm. continual glucose monitor, to experiment and see what I'm saying. Like, cause you can prove it for yourself. Like you can actually show this stuff and it's pretty amazing.
So folks out there, CGM, continuous glucose monitor, I've got a few folks with some of the little tabs that they've got on their shoulder where not, or, you know, old school ones as well. But hey, that could be kind of fun. I always wanted to insert one in myself just to see, but I haven't done it yet. Got to get somebody to write me that prescription. Mm-hmm. But in terms of knowing that you can take berberines on the fly in terms of if you have a cheat meal, something like that, that's really good to know. I think a lot of people aren't aware of that. I think a lot of folks don't think about it, or they've been trying it on the back end, like just not eat the next day, things of that nature, to try to regulate blood sugar. But it seems that this would be a quicker method to not have the negative effects.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I've patented some ketones as well, worked on RBHB, the active isomer, which is about 3 times better than the mixed isomer. We've also found that sodium is superior to the other forms of beta-hydroxybutyrate in terms of the salt. It just seems like the sodium, I mean, we're you know, salt phobic for no reason. When you're keto dieting, you need more salt. When you're an athlete, you need more salt. I think people do better with salt, period. And usually these studies that show negative outcomes with salt, it's more because of the correlation to processed food versus the salt itself. And so salt is very ergogenic in terms of athletic performance, but just finding that it's the best of all the minerals in terms of increasing the blood BHB levels. And we're actually finding the safe one, calcium, is the worst. Seems to have like this buffering effect, and you know, it could lead to calcification, honestly, in your arteries. Taking tons of calcium supplements without taking your like D3 and K2 could actually be counterproductive. So some of our old learnings of just take as much calcium as possible may not be ideal.
Thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, I think it's a big thing to think about. I've been seeing a lot. I mean, there's a huge connection between blood sugar imbalance and calcium levels going up as well. All of that, I mean, it's huge. It's huge info for folks to be thinking about, because I think the Dairy Council is still pretty strong, telling us to crank out as much calcium as we need. So yeah, folks, keep that in mind, the calcium D3 and the K2, you need the good balance if you're going to be supporting that side of things. Let's jump into mitochondrial stuff. I really want to talk a little bit about that, because when I'm working with folks that have chronic mono, Epstein-Barr virus, EBV, for those of you who are new at all this stuff, that's all the same thing. Those are three terms that you can use for that. It seems that I get a lot better results working on mitochondria with folks versus trying to kill and kill and kill viruses over and over again. And some folks get really sick. Did you find that when you're first starting to work on your body, you would get sick at first with certain supplements when you're trying to kill if you didn't support the mitochondria?
Oh, man. Yeah, I was in bed for months, like months and months, like in pain, inflamed with chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. It was brutal. When I got Epstein-Barr, I also had strep at the same time. I couldn't eat. I literally dropped out of my master's. It was a mess. Like, I was really hurting for many, many months. And it was actually the eating keto that helped pull me out of that. Because of its effects on cellular energy, mitochondrial function, it just seemed like switching over from using glucose primarily as a fuel to using ketones hit like a reset button for me, and helped with mitochondrial biogenesis, mitochondrial function. When you have ketones, you bypass the secondary complex of the electron transport chain, where there can be like this mitochondrial dysfunction can take place. And that'll lead to, when there's dysfunction, you have insufficient cellular energy. Makes sense, right? Because they're not making enough ATP, the energy currency. So you get this acronym called ICE, insufficient cellular energy. And when you don't make enough energy for what the body needs, then this disparity over time starts resulting in inflammation, glycation, which is blood sugar damage, oxidation, like kind of like rust, you know, when iron rusts, that's oxidation. So all these forms of damage are taking place, and that leads to biological aging over your chronological age, and it leads to shortened telomeres, which are a way to tell you're aging through DNA. And then you're putting yourself at risk for almost all chronic diseases, and you'll become insulin resistant. So all of this happens as a result of insufficient cellular energy and mitochondrial dysfunction. So I would recommend that people play with intermittent fasting or occasional extended fasts. I would recommend they try keto if they're in this insufficient cellular energy state or insulin resistant. You know, if you're someone that's great with carbs, cool. Like, you don't need to mess with it. I would definitely recommend eating whole foods / paleo, looking at things that are allergens, and then doing things that improve mitochondrial function, like certainly high intensity interval training, cold plunges, infrared saunas, reducing stress, doing like gratitude journaling, meditation, things like that. And then supplements wise, taking PQQ and CoQ10 for the mitochondria. You can take nicotinamide riboside, NR, which is called True Niagen, or NMN. As compounds that can help with increasing the NAD to NADH ratio in the mitochondria. Super nerdy, I know.
I love the heck out of it. So,
you can do NAD IVs, which is probably the most effective way. But because NAD is niacin based, It's brutal. I can tell you I've done it. It takes about 4 hours and you will feel like vomiting for like literally on the edge of vomiting for 4 hours. Like you can play with like how fast it, you know, it's running, the IV, and like you can literally like play with like just how nauseous you want to feel. Like it's instant, like as you play with it. But you, like, if you have it run too fast, you also feel the flush, the paresthesis, that like tingle. Mm-hmm. So it's not awesome. I think actually one of the most interesting ways, I don't have data on it, but people seem to like it anecdotally, is NAD intranasal. So these intranasal sprays.
Yeah.
It's not really compliant per se as a supplement. It's a little gray market. It's a little shadier, but it does seem to work from what the feedback I get from people. Like people consistently say they like it. So I don't have data to show you like here's the performance of the intranasal versus IV versus supplements. So it's a little bit of a crapshoot right now. But I would encourage people to just play around with that idea. What you want to do is increase this NAD to NADH ratio. If you look at the citric acid cycle, the TCA, tricarboxylic acid cycle, Krebs cycle, whatever you want to call it, like it's towards that last stop, like when you're going around the circle towards OAA, that this NAD to NADH happens. And skewing this ratio to more NAD has like an anti-aging pro-mitochondrial energy effect.
Nice.
That is palpable. Like, you know, cellular energy means experiential energy. So you literally function more optimally, feel better. So this should be a goal of most people, is to increase NAD pools. Like try and figure out how to do that. So that's something that I'm working on currently as well, but that's an ideal thing to work on for anti-aging and for energy. And certainly if you have autoimmune issues, your energy is constantly impaired.
Mm. Now let's talk about Hashimoto's for a minute, because you had mentioned that, and that's, you know, kind of all this goes together. I see it over and over and over again in my practice, and it is a big conundrum. And yeah, autoimmune, your body's constantly attacking itself. So it's using a lot of its vital energy to attack itself. So what do you suggest for folks with this kind of conundrum in terms of, and that's a loaded question. That's like a 4-hour.
Yeah, podcast. No, it's tough, because Hashimoto's is, can be T3, T4, reverse T, you know, it's like you can like really get into like, thyroid is super complicated, and most doctors, even most endocrinologists I've found, like don't know how to really understand it that well. There's very few specialists I've found that really understand the thyroid. If they're not doing really complex tests, like if they're not looking at reverse T3 and some of these other things, then they don't know what they're doing. And I would just run. If they're just looking at T3, T4, TSH, then that's not good. Like that's not a good place, because they can definitely misdiagnose some things. So I definitely think it's worthwhile to, my friend L is a rock star, L Russ, when it comes to this stuff. She's paleo podcast Primal Blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Mark Sisson was a part of. She took over for him, and she has some books on thyroid health, and she's done a lot of work in this area. So I definitely recommend reading up on her. But yeah, Hashimoto's, like you said, I think a lot of people deal with it, and you can be hyper or hypo. Like it's very complex, and you may think hyper means that you're super energetic, but there's hyperthyroid situations where you're not. So where you can feel flat and drained. So it's not that simple. It's just very, very, very complex, especially when you're dealing with autoimmunity on top of it. So, yeah.
Thanks for supporting that complexity component. I see a lot of patients with Hashimoto's. Yes, we have to look at all the advanced tests, because as you said, if you have a doc who's not looking at reverse T3, if someone that's not looking at even some of the uptake stuff, even some of the other details, you don't know you don't know half of it. I mean, I see a lot of people coming in and they've like had TSH run and they're like, yeah, my doc said my thyroid's good. I'm like, you can't tell crap from TSH. Like you got a point there. That's one marker. Great. Now, one thing I want to mention before we talk about your book, because I want to go through that and kind of give folks a little rundown on that because you're giving so much good information. I think a lot of folks are going to be really interested in your book. Now, I had mentioned the mitochondria, and you kind of gave us the breakdown on the mitochondria, and you kind of gave us the breakdown with Hashimoto's. In terms of all of this stuff, I think a lot of folks might be thinking, like, oh my God, where do I start? What would be the one thing, if you could give folks listening right now, to get themselves started, get themselves a win, where would they start to get their health back on track?
Supplementally, I would start with berberine. I think it's the most important supplement to take, period, the end.
Okay.
If you lower your blood glucose, increase your insulin sensitivity, lower circulating insulin, you will be better off. You will have a longer, healthier, happier life. You'll have less inflammation and just, yeah, it'll have a dramatic impact on your body composition, just everything. You know, even there's insulin sensitivity with your brain cells. When you don't get enough sleep, you're actually acutely insulin resistant in your brain cells. Alzheimer's is type 3 diabetes, you know, so PCOS is diabetes of the ovaries. Like, so it plays a huge role in aging and chronic diseases and just about every aspect of quality of life. So I would say berberine is the most important one I would say to take. And then from there, I would also look at, this is going to sound simple, but it's so important, is having a purpose or your why, knowing your why, having the right people around you, like pick your five very consciously, people that can mentor you and you have a deep relationship with and mentor them back, and you're a listener. And these people are just profoundly important. Like, you want to emulate them. These are the people that you choose to have in your five that are closest to you. You can choose happiness. You can actually choose to be happy. And when you do, you live about 12 years longer than people that don't. And I believe that living with purpose, eating whole food, slowing down, being able to go inward with meditation, relaxation, daily affirmations, gratitude, prayer, whatever it is, having quality relationships, like all this stuff is super important. And if you look at the blue zones, like, people have just tried to turn it into like diet and wine, and it has nothing to do with that, because when you look at it, there's certain cultures that don't drink the wine. There's certain cultures that have high carbs, some that are like more keto. It's all about quality of relationships. It's all about slowing down, positive self-talk, being able to be slow in certain moments, you know, like just, and go inward, and having like a quality morning routine, I think is important too, like to start your day. So you don't like run out the door on fire. You know, people, like, they make jokes in Europe and a lot of these places about like, they're on island time or they're on European time. And, you know, they just show up like at 10 o'clock in the morning and then they take 2-hour lunches and, you know, they eat dinner at like 9 o'clock at night. And like, that doesn't make sense. And yet they don't run out the door on fire. And if you think about like just food, right? Like the way we eat food, yes, we eat a lot of junk food, a lot of ultra processed food that's has bliss point manufacturing built into it, so we can't stop eating it. There's all these chemicals and it's not healthy, but we're also eating them under stress. We're stressed at work. We're stress driving. We're eating the food as quickly as possible so that when we do eat food or when we think about food, we start psychosomatically connecting it to stress. In these other cultures, they are eating food very relaxed, talking to each other, eating it over the course of 2-3 hours. and food becomes a completely different experience where it's healing. Yes, it's better food, but it's also the way you're eating the food and the people you're around. So I think that gets taken for granted quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The best dinner I ever had in my life was in Istanbul, Turkey, and it was a 6-hour dinner. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, like, why the hell are we here so long? But I had the best time ever. It was great. So yeah, taking your time to eat, for sure, huge. So I'm imagining a lot of what you just said has to do with your book. And yeah. So folks, Sean's book, The Energy Formula, coming out sometime later this year. If yep. you want to know about it, you got to get on his subscriber list to know when it's going to come out. But give us a little preview. Did you kind of actually give us a preview right there? I'm sorry.
No. Well, you know what? I think what I've come to find is that with biohacking, mm-hmm. if you use that term, some people like health optimization or whatever, the idea is that we go back and look at our historical blueprints. We look at, you know, how we've evolved in things like paleo diets, and we go back and think, oh, we need to get more sunshine, and we need to get cold exposure, and we need to get enough, you know, light and infrared, and we need to do deep breathing and gratitude and meditation. We need to make sure we get our sleep and don't get too much blue light in the evening and all this stuff, right? And that all is kind of going into our past and getting back to what's simple and minimizing, I should say. And then, but there's this other aspect of biohacking that's like looking at new technologies and using everything we have at our disposal, like peptides, like stem cells, like these new technologies, these pulsed electromagnetic fields, and you know, all these blue light blocking glasses, and you know, there's technologies that we can leverage that we can have better health as well. So, you know, wearables, for example, too, like tracking our fitness and some of these biomarkers. Mm. And so, like, I think the energy formula is about kind of looking at both, like going, you know, this dichotomy of like going into our past and then also looking into our future so that we can have a better present.
Love it. Love it. So folks, you can find more out about Sean's book, The Energy Formula, at seanwells.com. You can also find where he's going to be at live events. See if, you know, he's going to be in your area. I see FitCon's coming up in April of this year. So this is being recorded in 2020, but check his website for the most updated ones. You can also work with Sean if you want to, which I think is really awesome. Who doesn't need someone to help you biohack, for sure? Now you can check them out on Instagram, Zone Halo, Facebook at Biohacktivist. And did I cover it? Is there anywhere else we can find you and consume more information from you? Because you are a wealth of freaking knowledge, and it was fun geeking out with you today.
Thank you. I've done tons of podcasts. I don't have my own yet, but you can find me on, you know, Spotify and iTunes, and like I'm on YouTube with a bunch of videos and all that good stuff. But certainly following me on social at Zone Halo. And at my website, Sean Wells, S-H-A-W-N, would be awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
You need your own podcast because, boy, yeah. We could all pick your brain about so many different topics, like all the supplements. I mean, I could talk to you for 4 hours. I've got a list of things, and I skipped over like 3/4 of them. There it goes. But, oh, my gosh. Thank you. I really appreciate it. My folks are going to be enjoying this for sure.
Wow, health junkies. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. We geeked out quite a bit. Don't worry. I will have all the details in my show notes at drjkrausnd.com or thehealthfixpodcast.com. This is episode 168, Sean Wells. Now, Sean has a ton of experience and information, and I would love to bring him back on. And his diverse knowledge in everything supplementation. So if you guys are sitting here listening to this podcast and thinking, man, I'd like to know X, Y, or Z from Sean, let me know what you're interested in. He is so happy to come back and chat. So leave me a comment, message me directly through my website. You can DM me on Instagram. I'd love to hear what you thought of this podcast and also what else you'd like to know, because we are here to help you. All right, folks, you survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.